7, 8. Caffeinated faith with Ray and E. Jesus talk.
Hi.
Hello. Howdy. And shiver me timbers.
Oh my gosh. Howdy. Shiver me timbers. That's my word today because, well, my phrase, because it's so cold outside, I swear.
She texts me and she goes, shiver me timbers, it's cold outside. And I'm like, yes!
And now she's been saying it, and we gotta watch SpongeBob later now, because I'm pretty sure I got it from that.
It's gonna be my winter logo.
I feel like I always refer everything back to SpongeBob in life, so.
I mean, it's kind of instilled in our brain, sadly. We should be instilling more of the Bible instead of SpongeBob.
Yes, yes. Yes, we should.
Well, not that we put it there. It's just there from childhood.
Thanks, Mom. I'm kidding.
For allowing that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, actually, they didn't. I don't think they actually did allow it. I just watched it.
We snuck it. No, yep. She snuck it.
Mm-hmm.
SpongeBob was my hero. That's so
hero.
Sad. So sad.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far.
Really? Were
yes.
You not obsessed?
No, not like that.
You know every single line and episode of SpongeBob, and you weren't obsessed?
I wouldn't call it my hero. I stopped it after a certain line.
I can't.
There's boundaries.
All right. Well,
so
anyway.
Wait, hold on. So on a piece of paper at school, when they're like, who's your hero? You put SpongeBob?
No. I'm just saying, I've never stopped watching that show.
Oh, I still watch it now, too.
No, you don't.
I still watch it.
Oh, man, that's funny.
It is. Well,
I have a new hero nowadays.
Jesus.
JC.
Okay. Put the swag on the name.
Abba Father.
Who art in heaven.
Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Jireh.
Jireh.
You are enough.
You are enough.
No.
Hey, it was a harmony.
Oh.
You're learning.
Sometimes it comes. I'm telling you.
That was the harmony of what I just did. That's funny.
You know what's not so funny?
What?
This topic.
No, it's serious. Let's get serious, though. No. Yes, it's on marriage and submission.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important in today's world. It's very important biblically. And it's very important to honor that with God.
Yeah.
Because that's what he created us for, part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important. It's hard work.
It is, especially if people are in marriages who aren't equal,
you know what I mean? Yoked.
Yeah, or well, just or just how the husbands are in general.
Yeah, I mean it's hard work either way, but it does make it a ton difficult.
Yeah.
If you're unequally
harder
yoked.
Than what it has to be.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But yeah, definitely with JC,
yes.
As we call him, if we keep him in the center of marriages,
mm-hmm.
definitely makes it easier for guidance.
Mm-hmm. So. If you choose to be married, which you don't have to be married, right? You have a choice and you can live a righteous life whether you're married or not. And
righteous, when you say that, you could obviously choose to be married or not. But if you're not married, you could choose to live a righteous life. But most of the time, if you're not married, people just are around like free-for-alls.
I mean, if you don't have God and you're not.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not following his commands, it can be kind of scary being single. You can catch a lot of stuff. You can do a lot of stuff that you shouldn't be doing.
You're giving a piece of your heart to everybody instead of giving your husband your whole heart.
It's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But if you are Christian, obviously you can. We know some singles that are great.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. It's just anything is hard without Jesus, really, and you know, it's your choice if you want to go that route. There's no problem with being single, but you want to do it the right way.
Right. And before you go on, the part when you said how marriage is hard,
mm-hmm.
it could also be hard, not in the sense of, like, how the husbands are, or, like, the whole unequally yoked thing, but when the wife has to be submissive.
Right.
I feel like that's hard, too, because I feel like sometimes women take that word differently in
oh,
what
yeah.
it should be. Sometimes people think it's like they misunderstand it, because sometimes they think it's like men silencing women and that they're more superior and this and that, which they are in a sense, but we all have our roles. So that's all I want to say. But that it could be misconstrued
It sure can. No, it sure can. Being submissive is not in our nature. That's why we need the impeccable God. We mm-hmm. need, you know, we need the supernatural power of God to do that.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to effectively and, you know.
And I feel like the strength of a husband, too, helps us. Because also, wives are emotional. So, to keep sure. us steady. Because they always say it's God, then the husband, then the wives, and then the children.
Mm-hmm. It's hard work. We, you know, to partnering together with someone else for life, it takes forgiveness, communication, sacrifice, and compromise.
I always feel for the older people that say, we've been married for 60 years. I'm like, you mm-hmm. woke up to that every day for 60 years. Like, I'm just imagining that being me. And I'm just like, wow, not that it's a bad mm-hmm. thing. But in general, like, just thinking about waking up next to somebody for that long and being yeah. making a home with that person for that long, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And I think it gets easier after you've been with someone so long.
No, I feel like, honestly, that could also be because I feel like couples start acting like each other because they rub off on each other, and then they just start acting alike in some ways.
Yeah, you learn from each other, which is a great thing. Yes. Yeah. You know, you can, one can soften the other's heart, one can toughen the other up. That's mm-hmm. kind of how my marriage is.
Same. Same. I feel like I've yeah. definitely grown on my own, but also the way that he is, like, he taught me how to have a backbone more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but same. also I laugh because his brother actually said, you guys are gross because we start saying the same things, we start acting the same way, and he's like, really? Because mm-hmm. we did something one time the same way, and he's right. like, I can't with you guys. And I'm like, this is how you know you've been together for a while.
Yes. <that's laughs>
But things
awesome.
Like that, I get a kick out of that with couples.
I love that. But that means you truly do, like, pay attention to each other and admire each other.
Yeah.
Or else you wouldn't want to, you know,
yeah.
take on some...
You like, know, you and, like, you and Clay laugh alike now.
No, we don't.
I sometimes you both have, like, a similar laugh. Like, I catch on to stuff like that, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
He probably is just making fun of me.
I don't know. Probably, because that's what he does, but...
Oh, my gosh. So some people believe the purpose of marriage is self-fulfillment. And that's just not the right way to
look
at it.
Like, they think it's, like, rainbows and butterflies, and that's the answer to all things.
Yeah, they almost think that marriage exists so that we can find the person who can bring us from, like, your loneliness right. to, like, completing your life.
But it also depends on who you pick.
No, for sure. But like, okay, look, people that don't have Jesus, and even people that do.
Yeah.
It's almost like, oh, I need to be married one day so I can be complete.
Yeah, like, you it's know? A checklist.
Yes, checklist.
Yes.
That's not going to make you complete.
No. Sometimes it could actually bring more problems to the marriage if mm-hmm. you're just rushing it to get it done at a certain time, age, whatever.
Right. So basically, Hollywood kind of puts that in our heads, too. Like, every movie you see, it's all, like, rainbows and butterflies, but that's not how it is.
There's edits.
Yes. Because of that, we can become disillusioned. Sorry. When we find that marriage simply isn't working, disillusioned is kind of like expecting something. I learned that word. I had to use it today. But it's like when you have something in your in your head and it's not being fulfilled. So that kind of makes you expect all these things. And then when you don't get them, you're just like quitting. You're done.
Which is horrible because I feel like it's harder to leave a marriage than a regular relationship because it's more money. So,
right.
But so it would suck for the person if, like, oh, this isn't what it meant to be, or he's not who I thought he was because maybe they rushed into it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then hopefully you saved up well in life because the amount of money for divorce.
Sheesh.
I mean, I don't recommend divorce, but, you know.
If you don't agree on things, it can get even worse. But. We really shouldn't be even, we need to fight through our marriage. We shouldn't have to, I mean, it's one thing if you're getting abused mentally, physically, all of that. You're getting cheated on, this and that, which is something that God does say you can leave if, like, yeah. if your husband is cheating, which is completely against mm-hmm. his will. And that's kind of like the permission he gives you. But we all just quit way too much.
Or easily.
I mean, the divorce rate is wild.
Yeah. Way too easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, one wrong thing, I'm out. Like, no, like, mm-hmm. how about you fight for it the way you fought for the relationship in the first place?
Right.
To get married.
We can't expect only marriage to make us feel valued and loved. Because that's, you know, that's also what God does for us. And we should rely on that way more.
Mm-hmm.
Just having your expectations unmet is like just ruining these marriages. We can't expect someone to love us like God can love us. That yeah. makes sense.
We can't expect that because only God can love us a certain way that nobody can.
Right. But people are wanting...
Unless you are in a marriage where you have Christ in the middle and because the guy is supposed to represent the kind of love that God had given us, mm-hmm. which was sacrifice, because that's what they do for us, because they provide and all that. So mm-hmm. I feel like if you are in a marriage with Christ, then that would help resembling the love that he could give.
It would help with everything.
Yeah.
You know, your way of life, forgiveness, just like putting each other first, you know?
Mm-hmm. What's it called? And in a marriage, it talks about it in Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23.
Yeah.
hold on. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. And then it says, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. So, basically in these verses...
Where did you leave off? Sorry.
I read 21 to 25.
To 25, okay.
So basically in these verses, wives are being called to submit to their husbands as an act of trust and love, while husbands are commanded to lead through sacrificial love, like how I was saying.
Right.
Mirroring Christ. So basically, back to the word submission, like being submissive, mm-hmm. The biblical version of submission... It's not about control. It's more about the partnership.
Right.
And it's also supposed to be like a reflection of what God wants in order to have like a great marriage as well.
Yep. And how we are to submit to Jesus and the Lord too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means love your wives just as Christ loved the church.
Right.
He gave up his life for her, for the church.
Right. And the husband's role is also important, well, one, we can't live without them, unfortunately. And submission and love could go hand in hand because you can't have one without the other. Yeah. And there was this saying of, here it is. So there's this saying where the partnership in a marriage, wives are helpers or the support, if you want to call it, and the husband is the head, and we're called the neck. Mm-hmm. Have you've heard that?
I feel like I have.
So the husband is the head because they hold the role of the leadership in the relationship.
Yeah.
And the wife is the neck which is the crucial part because obviously it holds up the head.
Kind of like the stem to hold, like the vine.
Yeah, yeah. Like the neck holds up the head, right? Mm-hmm. So it could be a crucial role because we help the men in guiding, supporting, and influencing the direction of the head.
Yeah.
Which completes the family, I would say.
100%.
Imagine leaving men with children.
I know, like solely alone.
Yeah. Yep. And
no, you really need both sides.
And that's why when women take the word submission mm-hmm. differently, it's not them dismissing woman or anything in any way. Both it's spouses have to work together.
Right. It doesn't mean like I have to listen to every single direction my husband tells me.
I actually just told mine that the other day.
What do you mean?
Oh. He tried saying, well, in the Bible, I said, yes, for main stuff like that. But if I want to wear a green shirt versus a red shirt and I don't have to listen to you, like, for an example, like things like that, you know?
Yeah. Or even stuff that's a little more serious. Like, you don't have to listen to every single word he says, but if he's trying to guide you in the right direction,
right.
whether it be financially, spiritually, if he has God, he's going to lead you in the right way. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have to think twice about following that.
Right. And I always try to outsmart him, which never works.
And I know, they're smart.
And he always, like, he would tell me something and I fight tooth and nail. I'm like, no. And then, like, maybe mm-hmm. hours or a day goes by. No, you were right. I just, like, yeah, and then yeah, I'll yeah. listen to what he said.
We're but, human.
So I guess we really do need them.
Right.
Or at least I do.
It's true.
But yeah, so both spouses work together to make your marriage be, like, in harmony, I would say. I don't know what you want to call it. But mm-hmm. So one role isn't greater than the other. Everybody is equal. It's not like, oh, I'm better than you and this right. and that. Because I feel like sometimes couples can kind of, like, not debate, compete
with
each
compete.
Other. And
yeah.
be like, well, I did this, this, and that. Like,
oh, yeah.
I hate when that happens.
But, again, that is nature, and that's going to happen. It's the way we go about it. It's the way we respond to that.
Right.
You know?
But I feel like always living by that, like, the respect and everything goes out the window. Because, like,
yeah.
There might be a reason why he does right. that or whatever the case is.
Right. You need to look to God for help from him to make it better mm-hmm. and to make it smoother.
Yeah.
You had mentioned the husband is the head of his wife as the Christ is head of the church, right? In the last...
Yeah.
So I just want to continue a little bit in Ephesians 5:25 and go on a little, because mm-hmm. after that it's pretty good too. So for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's words. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife really shows love for himself. No one hates their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one, into one. This is a great mystery, but it is in... it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Respect.
Respect. Hearing that we are washed by the cleansing of God's word, and he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish, it kind of speaks to me like, women are almost like fragile. Mm-hmm. We are clean too, but no, we're almost like we're just more fragile than the man, and
we're more emotional.
Yeah, we're more emotional, more fragile, but we're also nurturing, which is kind of like I see that too, like without a blemish. Like we are, if we follow Christ, we are pure beings,
yeah.
and we are made to nurture our husbands and our children. And just
and
to be a light
a perfect
in the
balance.
World. It does. So I just wanted to finish that off.
And I like that it ends saying how they need to respect the husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Colossians 3:19, mm-hmm. it says, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. And so
yes.
respect goes a long way. And husbands should not treat their wives harshly, which brings us back to what you said in the beginning
mm-hmm.
about unless it's like abuse or whatever, like mm-hmm. don't take that, like that's the only time that you don't have to take mm-hmm. it. But it doesn't mean blind obedience or accepting abuse, losing your individuality.
Okay.
Because you shouldn't lose yourself in your marriage as well. Mm-hmm. Like, continue to be yourself, better yourself with Christ and everything. But definitely don't lose yourself. Because I feel like sometimes wives hide behind their husbands and, like, just
yeah,
let them...
We can still have a word. We
yeah.
can still have a say.
It's what the conclusion, how you guys come with that solution at the end of it, mm-hmm. as well. Because sometimes wives do hide behind their husbands, let them just speak for them, mm-hmm. tell them what to do. Okay, I'll do that for you. Like, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
And it shouldn't be that way at all. Mm-hmm. But going back to how men shouldn't treat their women harshly, I feel like so many men have to really try learning that more, mm-hmm. try learning about women more and how we are more sensitive and can react to certain behavior. Or if we are, let's just say, like, hormonal and we say something that, like, we didn't mean to offend them, but
they
we
don't
did,
understand.
It's like, just try to be gentle with her. She's gonna be better in a few days. No, just try to be gentle. I think men really need to study the woman brain, or study the way, well, definitely study the way that God is directing them to treat their wives.
Yeah.
If men did that, the world would go much smoother.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know.
Same as women. No, just saying.
Right. In saying that, I just feel like sometimes men overlook women, or like they don't understand us, which is why they should try to learn us.
Or appreciate as much.
Appreciate, yes. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like until something gets taken away from them, then they don't understand, like, then they're like, oh, I do need her, or this and that. It's sad that you need to have something happen for you to understand it versus just knowing it right then and there.
100%.
Yeah.
And I'm not disregarding the women who are like that too. Yeah, like, you know, it can go both ways. Like, us women really need to appreciate their hardworking, smart leaders. We need to really appreciate what they're doing for us and our family, and just as the head of the household and whatnot.
Right.
And if your spouse, if you're unequally yoked and your spouse does not have Jesus, you need to be the role model, and you need to continue praying for them. Have your friends and your church pray for them, because God can make huge changes, because he knows what's in your heart. He can change someone, as we've seen so many times. So prayer and just being an example is the best way you can go about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going like two different directions in my head right now.
I know, there's so much.
Because I know, like, for a fact, the way that Will used to be back then when we were dating versus now, mm-hmm. definitely changed around. And I know that took a lot of prayer too. Mm-hmm. I was praying for him every single day, and I saw like a complete like 360. Yeah. And I'm glad that it did. And now we're able to do so much more together, and all this and
so
that.
Much.
And then also on my aspect of it, I do feel like since everyday life does come and like always busy and this and that, sometimes I could overlook the things that he does as well. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I do sit and I'm like, oh, this is because of him. This is because of him. Like, he actually does. I know he does do stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't actually think about it and reflect on it and appreciate it until I get like those downtime moments. Or mm-hmm. the other day on Instagram, I saw this thing. I actually put it on my story saying how he never goes unnoticed, because as I was reading it, it's like the husband does this, this, and that, and he makes sure you get this, and the family is this. And I'm like, that's mm-hmm. so true, because I mean,
it can be true for so many cases. Yeah.
And even as I was reading, it did mention kids, but I'm like, I know he will do that, because if he could do all this now, then when kids come, then he'll be even greater.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you have a man that can do that, hold on to him. If you have a man that's leading you in all these ways, and you see, and you can stop, even if you don't see it right away, you can stop and look back like you did. Mm-hmm. Don't let that guy go.
Yeah.
Don't let him go.
I already told him divorce is not in the cards, so.
And he knows that. He is with you. You have God in your relationship.
You could definitely tell he has Jesus, because the patience that he has with me, like, I could be hard sometimes. The patience that he has with me, and he's never, like, tried to disrespect me in any way, no matter how I am and everything. So I actually just thought about that right now. Just thinking about it. He never tries to disrespect me or talk to me in any way.
Yeah.
Sometimes he has to bring me down, like, in the sense of, like, my voice, my tone, and this and that. Right, and he's always never tries to raise his voice at me or anything.
Love that. That's so good.
Here's my reflection on Mike.
It's your reflection.
I just had a thought. Okay.
Well, that's good. It's a good thought. Speaking of that, though, I'm going to read, like, just a quick paragraph. Mm. It's... it was just on in an article. Like I circled it in an article I read yesterday. And I just thought it was really, really good to hear. So I want to share it with everyone. So when husbands love their wives, even when their wives are not worthy of that love, they paint a picture of Jesus's sacrificial commitment to his people. And when wives respect their husbands, even when their husbands are not worthy of that respect, they paint a picture of the church's trust and deference to Jesus. But when husbands and wives abandon their marriage vows, they not only hurt themselves and their children, they also hurt everyone's ability to see the gospel clearly.
I like that part.
How, I know, that just
that is
lured
true.
Me in. Like, so, if you're not keeping your marriage vows, what inspiration are you going to be to anyone through Christ?
Right. How especially if you have Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I'm going to be vulnerable right here. I've almost gotten divorced a few times in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful that we didn't. I'm so thankful that we fought through the hard times. And I'm so thankful that even being in an unequally yoked marriage, people are praying for my husband. I'm praying for my husband every day. And you know what? I see growth. It's not perfection. It's not where I want it to be fully. But I'm not going anywhere if there's growth. Mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere if he's being real to me and he's taking leadership in the household, you know?
And not only with that, I feel like it also built your faith with God, your relationship with God. Because I know, obviously, you wanted to get the divorce and stuff, how hard you had to push through
not
to do that. Oh, Jesus
stopped me. God stopped me.
Yeah.
He and stopped me in my tracks, girl.
Yeah. And then your prayer life obviously got stronger because then you're praying for him as well with right. everybody else. So I feel like it great both ways.
God does such good things.
Unfortunately, it's in his timing. So, like, if it was up to us. Sure. But,
But the thing is,
the waiting is important.
That's the thing. The waiting is everyone's, you know, if I ever express this to someone who doesn't understand, they would be like, well, aren't you tired of waiting and this and that? But the fact that
at
I see.
At some points, yes.
Yes, at some points. But the fact that I see growth, and also the thing is, God makes it easier. He does. It's not hard to wait anymore because I see the growth. He's showing me that something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not hard anymore. Like, I used to worry so much about my future and this and that. What if this and that? But now I'm like, oh, well, it's God's plan. And I'm in a waiting season, but it's okay.
Right.
Because it's okay. I'm okay. We're okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know, like I said before, I prayed for him. I still do, obviously. But, like, I actually pray for myself as well, where in the marriage, like, help me to be better and stronger for him, because we're two different individuals at the end of the day. So, yeah. Like, just for me to understand him and, like, mm-hmm. fully respect him and this and that, like, more.
Because, mm-hmm.
obviously, like, we could be weak in moments and stuff. So,
yeah.
I catch myself in those times. But just to, like, pray to, like, help myself understand more and just be up to par of what I'm supposed to be as a wife and everything,
yeah. too. Yes. We can't abandon our marriages, guys. When we do that, we rob God of the opportunity to bring beauty from the ashes.
Yes. And you know
literally
what?
Literally rob him.
You know what I also thought of, too, is when and if people do have kids along with the marriage,
mm-hmm.
How it's important how you guys treat each other in front of the kids, especially because then the kids would think it's like okay to act like that and maybe mess themselves up later on in life. But
mm-hmm.
having kids, it's definitely important. I remember growing up, and my parents, they're normal couples, so like you're gonna bicker every once in a while. And so when they would do that, I remember my dad would say whatever man thing he would say, and then my mom would be like, you want to say that in front of your daughter? Is that really how you want to like show her how you are or can be or whatever the case is? And
mm-hmm.
I just remember her always saying that, so now I always remember that. But I never thought of him any differently. People argue. It's not like he was disrespectful right. or anything. But
exactly.
But just like arguing in front of your child, I know sometimes a child can misinterpret that as something else.
They are learning. They're in there. They're learning so much every single day. Their brains are developing minute by minute. And they don't know everything yet. So they don't know.
But I feel like nowadays they have so much access to more than what we had. Like
they do.
I feel like they could watch videos and see things, whether it's good or bad. So like
for sure. But they don't know when you're fighting or screaming and yelling in front of them. I'm sure so many different thoughts go through their head. And some kids kind of just like try to.
Yeah. But like, then block there's the out. Kids who are like, are you guys going to get divorced? Right. And like because they're scared. Maybe I don't know how the intensity of the argument or the yelling is, but
100%
kids automatically go straight to like divorce. Like, are they going to separate and this and that?
It's true. Like I said before, when we rob God of the opportunity to turn good or change the good, I mean, change the bad to the good, basically, then we can't see what he has stored for in store for us.
You're blocking your own blessings.
You're blocking your own blessings. Think of how many marriages ended and they would have never known if they just stuck it through what God could have done for them.
It's because they make their own conclusions instead of going to the one who could potentially give you your conclusion.
Exactly. And that's why the divorce rate is much heavier for people that don't have God, for non-Christians. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact. Christian marriages, I don't know the exact number, but if you look it up, way less divorce rate and happiness, you know?
Christian marriages.
Marriages, way less of a divorce rate. I just want to say one more thing. Sorry. I just want to say, if you're not married yet, don't submit yourself to anyone who you're not married to. No unmarried woman owes submission to any man that you're not like you're not married to or you're not life partners with.
And with that, choose men or choose a man that
already has those.
Yeah, that
characteristics.
Yes, because if you get stuck with one and keep going to another one that's like that or whatever the case is, you're always going to be in that circle that what word am I looking for?
Just the ongoing circle.
Yes, just the ongoing circle of it all. And let's say you do get married to that one person, it'll be hard for you to submit to somebody like that because of maybe the mental abuse or
yes, whatever exactly what I was going to say. It would be so hard to submit to an ungodly husband with different values.
Yeah.
See,
So choose wisely while you can.
Yes. And going there real quick, being unequally yoked, I can still submit to my husband in a lot of ways. Obviously not spiritually because we don't have this
almost.
Firm. Yes, we're getting there because he does believe in this and that. It's just not the same. Mm-hmm. But I can submit to my husband because he's intelligent and I can submit to him because he's a provider and he's a great dad.
He's great overall.
He's great.
He just needs Jesus to top it off.
That's the only thing. No. But like still submit.
He's hard worker. He has, he, as you were saying, he provides.
Right.
He always makes sure that you and the girls are good.
He's treating me good, you know, like.
You definitely won't find a lot of those men nowadays.
Right. If he's not providing, if he's not treating you good, like, it's going to be really hard to submit to anything in that sense.
Right.
But it's so important. It's God's will and it's clear. Look at the dynamic between man and woman.
Right.
This is clear. It's clear how God made us, and it's clear what we should do. Even without, like, hearing that, it's kind of like, it just makes sense. The masculinity and femininity differences, you know, it makes sense to live like that.
It does. To me. And if you want a marriage and that's great and, like, centered with God and everything, there are ways, tips for, like, being submissive. Being submissive. There's just a few. First one is communication, which is obviously a huge one, because it'll help you guys like regularly discuss decisions and your preferences just with life and how you guys have to go through things. Pray together. Seek God for guidance as a couple in all aspects of life. Obviously we have our own walk with God, which you should individually, but also when you come together, like, it should be even stronger. Respect one another, because it could demonstrate value for your husband's role, while expressing your thoughts.
Respect. is number one.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. So, and then trust. Trust is a big one in marriage, too. You have to trust one another. Mm-hmm. And let your submission reflect trust in God's design, even when it's difficult. Like how you were saying, how you like push through and you trust a God and everything.
For sure. Can I add a couple more words to that real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is key to an ongoing marriage.
Yes, that saying that they say forgive and forget, that don't work. Mm-hmm. You got to release it in your heart before you can release it fully from the person.
You already said communication.
Yep.
And I just want to add sacrifice and compromise.
Ooh, that's a big one too.
Yes. Sometimes we have to compromise with things that we don't necessarily want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to do it because it takes a team. It takes two to tango. Mm-hmm. And sacrificing. You know, if you're married, you can't be going out every night hanging with your friends. Right. It doesn't work that way.
And if you know he's interested in something that you're not, but it'll help your bonds together. Maybe like do that one thing with him. Because I know my husband always does stuff that I like. But when it comes to his, I have to work on that. When it comes to his like anime watching and whatever, I don't get into it. But like
that's different. That's like a TV show, though.
Yeah, but his favorite thing is video games, anime, and sports. Like, that's the three things. That's
tough as a woman.
Exactly. So, therefore, I'm trying to push myself into at least, like, getting interested in it.
Yeah.
But stuff like that, like, I'll sacrifice my time to do stuff that I like.
Or if you just sit next to him even when he's watching it and you go on your phone, like, you're still...
I do that.
That's... Yeah, but the thing is, that is supporting him. It's not... You don't have to... like exactly what he's watching, but just sitting there next to him, spending that time with him while he's doing his favorite thing.
I do that now, but I also want to take it to like another level too, though, of like being able to have conversations with him on like things and this and that, and not just on like what we need every day and you know, like more conversation.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But sacrifice.
I'm just saying, you don't have to like love everything he does.
Oh, I don't love everything he does.
You can still be with him. For it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it could also help us just bond more and do things together instead of, okay, Rachel's over here doing this while he's upstairs playing video games, you know?
Right, right.
Video games. Whoever invented video games. I like playing video games, but the amount of time taken away.
It is.
I
don't like how it looks when, a couple comes home from work and then, like...
They separate.
Every single day. It's like, they're not even hanging out for an hour. It's like, what is that?
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't want that in my life, partner. I don't want that at all. I want to spend time. Like, sometimes it's okay. Or, like, you know, you can do your own thing.
Or whatever. If I come home late from work and he's already upstairs doing whatever he's doing. Cool.
Yeah, like, that happens. But if it's every day and that's happening, that is so not healthy.
Yeah. True. Did you have any other words, or were those the two?
You said my other ones, so I just added those.
Okay. So Proverbs 31:10-12 is what I have. Okay. And it says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." So I broke down each part. So a wife being noble implies strength, virtue, and moral excellence. The qualities rooted in her faith and reverence for God. So it just shows her reverence with God. And having a wife that's noble like that is rare and precious. That's why I said it's worth more than rubies.
Yeah.
The husband's confidence has deep trust in her wisdom, reliability, because we are reliable. I feel like we're the glue. We like keep things together.
Yes.
And with that, with her actions and everything, it could help having a successful home, like with your kids and just a home in general, like making it a home.
Yeah.
Because not all marriages have a home. You know what I mean? Like, making your own home and the love and the feeling inside of it when you go into somebody's house.
100%.
And she brings him good. So her a wife's focus is to bring good to her husband and her family. Not about material stuff. But the emotional, the spiritual, like how you said before.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, her faithfulness is consistent with along with love, because we try to replicate God's love in our way. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically it.
Love it. Love it. All true.
All good stuff.
We are precious.
Yes, we are. So let me just say one more thing and then we can end. So I found some verses, a couple verses in Genesis that were like, whoa, to me. We're going way back to the beginning, okay? Mm-hmm. Way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve. So basically, you know how Adam and Eve, basically, they made it so our life was going to be challenging. Mm-hmm. You know, they brought sin into the world. Mm. So this is how God responded when they did that. Ready?
Ready.
So this is Genesis 3, 15 and 16. So because Eve had the apple and then Adam did, he says, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you."
Yeah, this is why I'm afraid to have kids.
Do you? I don't know if I've ever read this. Have you read this?
No, not in detail like that.
Are you serious? God literally, this is, I'm just bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
Because of what we did and our behavior, or what they did and what we still do now, we're just sinners, right? He is going to cause hostility between the man and woman, okay? So this is a normal thing. We're going to have emotions. We're going to be angry. And between our offspring. Kids are wild. How many times, you know, you have to talk to your kid or yell at your kid, this
repeat
and that?
Repeat yourself.
Listen, this is all true. So I think he was referencing, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. I think, like, it's kind of just like a saying. I don't know exactly how he meant it, but like, you know, we'll come at each other is right. What I'm taking out of it. Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy." Ooh, girl. God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But why did you do that to us?
Blame Eve. Always blame Eve.
Listen. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
Is this not all factual?
Because they're the head, yup.
Is this not all factual statements?
Well, good thing the Bible's factual.
Because, like, as women, we do want to, like, rule. Like, we want, not rule, but we want to be, like, we want to have a say. We want to, you know, tell him what's good. And God said, nope.
Nope.
You're gonna have these desires, but I'm sorry, but your husband's gonna rule over you.
And that's why you just,
because you took the bite first.
Keep talking
Eve,
to Jesus, and
because you took the bite first.
He just wants us to come back to him because he knows that we will need him throughout that time.
I just can't. So yeah, so basically it's all natural. It's all normal, you know. God said this would happen.
And if you don't believe it, go read it.
Right? God said at the very beginning that this would happen, and look at today. Mm-hmm. It's all still happening.
Because he created the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm. People try to fight against it, but this is what it is.
Yeah. True story.
Yeah. This is on a whole nother level, supernatural truth. Anyway. Woo! That topic was crazy.
There's so much more you could say about it, too.
I know. But we gotta go, so we're gonna end in a little prayer.
Lord, I thank you for this time that we've had together. I thank you for allowing us to be able to talk on this topic and just speaking through us to be able to share your word through this podcast. And I pray that whoever's listening, if they are in a great marriage or if they're not, that they just continue to seek you and that they look up to you and try to help them guide themselves in their marriages as they look up to you. And I also pray for our marriages, and I thank you for the men that we were blessed with, and help strengthen us as wives, because I know it could be hard sometimes, and also strengthen our marriages each day as we go through it with them. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen for everything. All right.
And here's our hymn that we've worked hard on.
Yes, we work very hard. This is a beautiful song. If you guys don't know it, it's called
"Broken Together" by Casting Crowns.
Girl, this song is everything. It is everything, everything, everything. Go listen to it 5 times in a row.
Memorize it.
Instill it in your brain. Show your husband or wife. This song is beautiful. It's called Broken Together because that is what we are. Here it is.
It's gonna take much more than promises this time. Only God could change our minds. Maybe you and I were never meant to be complete. Could we just be broken together? If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, could healing still be spoken and save us? The only way we'll last forever is broken together.